భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 7 టెక్స్ట్ 25 ది సన్ ఆఫ్ జోనా పనిష్డ్. తథాయం చవతరస్తే భువో వార జహీర్షయా స్వానం చనన్యా భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ తథాయం చ చతస్తే తథాయం చవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా స్వానం చనన్య భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ తథాయం చవతారస్తే భువో భావ చహీర్షయా స్వానం చనన్య భావానాం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ తథాయం చవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా స్వనం చనన్య భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్. భువో వార చహీర్షయా భవనం చనన్య భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ చతాయం చవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా చనన్య భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్. భో భావ చేయసయా స్వనం చనన్య భావనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్. అవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా స్వనం చనాయ భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ చతాయం చవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా స్వనం చనన్య భవనం అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్. మాతాజీస్ తథాయం చవతారస్తే భువో వార చహీర్షయా స్వానం చనన్య భగవనాన్ అనుజ్ఞానాయ చ సకృత్ తథాయం చవతారస్తే Bhava Chisaya Svanam Chananya Bhavanan Anujanaya Chasakrit Tutayam Chavataraste Bhuvo Bhava Chisaya Sanam Chananya Bhavanam Anujanaya Chatata. Thus, I am this Cha and Avatara incarnation. Te your Bhava Bhuva of the material world. Bara, burden. Jahirsaya, for removing. Swanam, of the friends. Cha ananya bhavanam, and of the exclusive devotees. Anudyanaya, for remembering repeatedly. Cha and asakrit, fully satisfied. Thus you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are your exclusive devotees and are constantly wrapped in meditation upon you. Purport. It appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees. Everyone is related with the Lord. He is equal to everyone, and yet he is more inclined to his own men and devotees. The Lord is everyone's father. No one can be his father, and yet no one can be his son. His devotees are his kinsmen, and his devotees are his relations. This is his transcendental pastime. It has nothing to do with mundane ideas of relations, fatherhood, or anything like that. As mentioned above, the Lord is above the modes of material nature, and thus there is nothing mundane about his kinsmen and relations in devotional service. Tatayam chavitaraste buvobara chahirshaya swanam Swanam Chananya Bhavanam Anudyanaya Chasakrit. Thus you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are exclusive devotees and are constantly wrapped in meditation upon you. Om Ajnana Timirandan Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here, Srila Prabhupada points out from this verse that the Lord is equal to everyone. Bhagavad Gita states, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvaistya Stina Priya. I'm equal to everyone. I'm not partial to anyone. But who is ever a devotee and who is dedicated to me, for him I am especially inclined. Krishna says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, although Krishna is equal, he's specially inclined to his devotees, those who render devotional service. So one may ask, what is the question of equality? How is it that Krishna is equal if he gives special attention to, as Prabhupada points out here, as Bhagavatam points out, his exclusive devotees? Devotees are exclusive. They get the, what do you call that on an airplane?
First class.
the first class section, they're exclusive. They get the special treatment. They get the pakoras. They get the samosas. They get the chutney. Devotees get exclusive care. And why is this? The story is there with Durvasa Muni. He was making a curse on Ambarish. And Krishna came with his Sudarshan Chakra. And Durvasa ran everywhere to get relief. No one could give him relief. Finally, he went to the Lord. And the Lord said, Sarvam Hridayam Ayam, Sarvanam Hridayam Twaham. Devotees are in my heart, and I am in their heart. They know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. I can't help you. The Lord told Durvasa, you've offended Ambarish. The Sudarshan Chakra is now upon you, chasing you everywhere. I can't even help you because devotees are in my heart. I'm in their heart. They know nothing but me. I know nothing but them. Go back to Ambarish and beg his forgiveness. If he forgives you, then the Sudarshan Chakra will be at ease, will ease off of you. Another story in Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, the story of Mohini Murti. The demigods and the demons were fighting like anything. And of course, we're discussing here that Krishna is equal to everyone. He gives that same opportunity of devotional service to everyone. The demons were defeating because of a curse of Durvasa, same Durvasa. The demigods had become weakened and the demons had become strengthened. So the demigods ran to the Lord. Actually, they first went to Lord Brahma at, Sumeru Mountain. And they asked Lord Brahma, please help us. He knew as soon as they came. And he went deep into meditation. This meditation does not belong to one religion or another. It isn't a Buddhist meditation. It isn't a Christian meditation. Meditation is deep, deep thought on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma, he didn't go into Hindu meditation or Buddhist meditation. He went into meditation, deep meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For devotees, it's stated that we should meditate upon Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions, and Krishna's service. Krishna's pastimes, as they're given, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Krishna's instructions, Bhagavad Gita is there, the instructions, and Krishna's seva, your devotional service. This is Krishna meditations. This is meditating on the Supreme. So Brahma went into deep, deep meditation. And he opened his eyes and told the demigods, I can't help you. You have to go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Swetha Dweep. You have to approach Krishna, and only he can answer your questions, can help you get strength to defeat the demons. Because the demons at the time had the upper hand. So they went. And Brahma offered incredible prayers in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to the personality of Godhead, glorifying him as the ultimate truth and the ultimate maintainer and provider to all, the ultimate equal. And Krishna said, you go back. He knew what the demigods were seeking. You go back to the ocean of milk and make a truce with the demons. Sometimes the demigods and the demons were making truces. They'd make an arrangement. Well, we hate each other. We're fighting like anything, but let's make a deal. Let's make a truce. Let's arbitrate. Later on, Mohini Murti came as the supreme arbitrator. Nowadays, I signed one contract for a music company some years ago. They ripped us off completely, never gave us a penny. Took everything we had, practically speaking. That's a long story. But you can't take them to court because in the contract it said you have to go to an arbitrator that they appoint. Happened to be the arbitrator was the guy we signed the contract with. Don't ask me how I signed that. I must have been sleeping. I don't have any idea. But the demons and demigods, they actually went ultimately to an arbitrator. But first, the Lord told them, make a truce, go back to the demons, present the case. You're such great, learned personalities. You have such strength of knowledge and power. You're so beautiful and wonderful. Let's make a deal. So, then he outlined that you should churn the ocean of milk. I will help. And from there will come a pot of nectar, which will make one invincible. So the demigods went back and they approached the head demon, Bali Maharaj, and they said, let's go together. We can work together and we can churn this ocean of milk and get the, so many wonderful things will come out, so many demigoddesses and demigods, so many benefits and blessings. So they said, okay, and the demigods first went for the churning. Vasuki was the snake, personality of Godhead, was the, what do they call? Churning rope. Vasuki, the snake. The Krishna appeared as Kurma, as the tortoise, to be the churning rod. And the demigods and the demons would churn the ocean. One would take one side, one the other. The demigods first went. It was a ploy to the head of the Vasuki. Vasuki was a fire-breathing snake. And the demons were like, how come you get the head? They immediately became envious, as demons do. How come he got the big piece of burfi? I should get the burfi. So that demoniac nature, we want the front. We want the head of the snake. So the demigods said, okay, we'll take the rear. We'll take the tail of the snake. And sure enough, Vasuki was fire-breathing snake. So as they began to churn, the demons were being burned like anything. They were being burned alive. It was a trick Krishna had employed. Of course, he came there himself personally to resuscitate. But the demigods and demons, as they were churning, so many things were coming out of the ocean of milk. And they couldn't even bring, at the time, the story goes, from the Bhagavatam, when they were bringing the Mandara Hill there. They couldn't even carry it, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to help them carry that hill to the ocean of milk. So as they churned more and more, a poison named Halhala came out of the ocean of milk. And from that poison, everyone was immediately dropping, demons and demigods. So Lord Shiva saw the chaos, being a great devotee of the Lord and having great compassion. Devotee is known as Paraduka Duki. His and her sadness is to see that others are suffering. Others are having difficulty within this material world. That's our sadness. Srila Prabhupada was very sad that I think there was a story. Srila Prabhupada went up here in Cheviot Hills, just up the block. And devotees showed the golf course there. They have one humongous golf course just up the road. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?" And devotees explained, "Oh, Prabhupada, they take an iron golf club, iron club, and they hit a ball into a little hole." And the story I heard is that Prabhupada began crying. Devotees were laughing. Young devotees, they, "Oh yeah, Prabhupada," they go all day, all the big stars. Everyone goes and plays golf. All the retired athletes play golf. And Prabhupada said, "Why are they wasting their time? Why are they wasting this human form of life with such a waste?" So the saintly person, the pure devotee, he is Paraduka Duki. His sadness is that others are suffering. Others are engaged in activities that aren't bringing them yayatma supersedati, satisfaction of the self. So when Lord Shiva saw that people were being poisoned by this halhala, he had to get permission from his wife first. And he explained to her that pranai swai pranina panti sarva chana bhangurai bharavaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshu atmamayaya. Devotees, even at the risk of their own lives, go and sacrifice for the benefit of others. He was convincing his wife, Shiva, Parvati, Bhavani, that I have to drink this halhala. She knew he wouldn't be troubled. He could drink the poison that was killing everyone. He was such highly advanced personality. But he convinced her that this is mission of devotees. Even at the risk of their own lives, devotees go out to save others. This was Srila Prabhupada. He came at the risk of his own life to save the fallen, suffering persons in this Western world. Who can imagine the compassion? Prabhupada wasn't trying to become something famous or get some prestige among his God brothers or their movement, Gaudiya Mat. Srila Prabhupada was truly taking on and facing possible death for the suffering of the people in general. Tapyante, Shiva told Parvati later. Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana paramaradhanam tadi purushasya kilatmana. That the greatest austerity that one can perform is to sacrifice one's life for the suffering of others. Srila Prabhupada sent his boys and girls, his men and women, to sacrifice their lives all over the world to preach Krishna consciousness. Even they were facing so many difficulties. Srila Prabhupada knew in Russia, their stories are there, so many difficulties of devotees being imprisoned. In Liberia, devotees being killed. In so many places. In O'Hare Airport, devotees being physically attacked by police, undercover police. Isn't that true, Naikatma? You were there? You got attacked? I didn't get attacked because I had sore feet and I was sitting on top of a garbage can out of the way of the middle of the terminal. I think that's the only reason. Everyone else got attacked. This is Vaishnav, Paraduka Duki. So Lord Shiva, he drank the halahala poison because he was so compassionate to the demons and the demigods alike. And he dropped a tiny bit back into the ocean, or from his hand, the scorpions and snakes and different poisonous creatures that caught the halahala. And that's why they are poisonous. Don't let any scientist tell you otherwise. That's the reason that there are poisonous snakes and poisonous spiders, because of the drip of the halhala from the hand of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, after drinking the poison, he got some blue mark on his neck from the halhala poison. So after he had taking care of business, the demigods and the demons were more enlivened. They continued churning the ocean, working together for their goal. And sure enough, after so many beautiful things appeared, Dhanvantari appeared. Dhanvantari is the personality of the Supreme that carries all cures for diseases. Medicinal cures are there. Natural cures. You don't have to take steroids. You don't have to take anti-immune medication. You don't need any type of antibacterial, antiviral medications. Of course, in our modern day society, if we don't, there's so much pollution, and the Ayurvedic medicine is not very solidly advanced, as people are finding out, that sometimes in order to prolong one's life, it's necessary to take some precautions that can be used in Krishna's service. But Dhanvantari appeared with all medical cures. And he had a pot of nectar. So immediately, demigods and demons, they're fighting over the nectar. Demons somehow got a hold of the nectar. They're fighting. Who will drink the nectar first? This is the nature of demons. I'm the most senior. I get the nectar first. You bring around the incense and what do you call? Anything from, I get first. I'm more senior than him. I'm senior to her. Why don't you give it to me first? Not really good mentality. They were fighting, I get the first sip of nectar. So, Mohini and Murti appeared, personality of Godhead, as the most beautiful woman in the history of the universe. So amazingly beautiful. Krishna has a beautiful, beautiful woman. And she immediately told the demons and the demigods, line up like it's prasadam time. I will distribute to you the nectar. And they thought, such a beautiful woman. How can we go wrong? We have to trust her. The demons especially. My God, they were amazed. So much beauty in Mohini Murti. And she started telling them, give me the nectar and I'll distribute it. I'll say who gets first because you're just fighting. Your fighting is not accomplishing anything. Let me settle everything for you. So they immediately agreed, sure, you're so beautiful, you're so fantastic, take it. And Mohini said to them in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, why are you trusting me? I'm a woman. Why are you putting your faith and trust? She said so many things. But basically, she said, why are you putting your faith and trust in me? I can cheat you. I can go. She said, I'm a Pumschili. This is Bhagavatam. This isn't me. I'm Pumschili is the word used. Means I go from this person to that person and then another person. Embracing one, looking over the shoulder at another, and keeping in the heart a third. Why do you trust me? And the demons started laughing. Isn't she funny? Isn't she cute? She's amazing. That is beautiful preaching. She went on further. You can't trust me. They said, no, we trust you. And immediately Mohini Murti, being the personality of Godhead, in the form of the most attractive, beautiful woman, gave the nectar to the demigods and completely shunned the demons. So this is the story that Krishna is equal to everyone, but he's partial to his devotees. Those who have dedicated their life to serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna gives, as it's stated here, what's the word that's used? You get the exclusive. You get the exclusive treatment. You get exclusivity. The devotee becomes is exclusive in the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in the heart of the devotee, the Supreme Lord is exclusive. We exclude everything except the pure devotee. Excludes everything except thoughts and love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna sees that Bhavagrahi Janardana, that devotional sentiment. He doesn't see exactly just what we're giving. Of course, that's there. But Krishna sees our devotional sentiment. Even we're doing so much service, if the attitude isn't proper, we're not pleasing Krishna. We can do a little service, offer some nice foodstuffs to the Lord with great love and devotion and sincerity. Just like that Brahmin who was offering milk in meditation. He was too poor to even afford milk. He offered in meditation to the Lord with such rapt attention that in his meditation, Krishna meditation, he touched the milk as it was on the stove boiling and burnt his finger. He came out of the meditation. His finger was actually burnt. When we have a great devotional attitude, then Krishna reciprocates. That is what Krishna is looking for. Then he gives us that exclusivity and we gain advancement. Devotees act only for the purpose of purification. We don't act for prestige. We don't act for followers. We don't act for monetary reward, sense gratification, gross and subtle. Devotee acts only for the purpose of purification. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Those books are coming today. And they'll be in the book. But if you need extra, then let me know.
It wasn't milk, it was sweet. It was supposed to be cold.
You're a guru, you have to make sure you keep it.